Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
However,
here's John Williams.
Sometimes they don't come until after the show. Hi, it's John. We're in the Allstate Skyline Studio until 3. And then on Saturdays, 10 a.m. till 12 noon, not so much the Saturday show these days. It's Wildcat Football with Jay Bennett and Ted Albrecht. The Cats play this Saturday, so our show will take a pass again on Saturdays. I miss the Saturday show, but we'll get to it soon enough. And we're happy to be here Monday through Friday with you from 1 to 3 on social media. I'm WGN King John. And remember, we post a daily web poll question we call the News Click. At WGNradio.com, we also put that on my Facebook page. We ask you about something in the news. This weekend in Chicago at Grant Park at 9 a.m. Tomorrow on Saturday, that giant baby Trump blimp is going to fly over the city. There's a rally to encourage people to vote. Focuses on women, as I understand it. But it's at 9 a.m. It'll be at Grant Park. So the baby Trump balloon is there. It's a sign of defiance and protest. I know it's upsetting to some of you, and some of you think it's awesome. In fact, we asked you about the baby Trump blimp, which first debuted in London last year at the women's march there. And then Americans saw it and said, oh my God, we've got to get one too. And by Americans, I mean this guy we talked to yesterday from New Jersey, who is a retired city worker in New Jersey, who wasn't a politician and wasn't a marketing guy, but he saw that balloon on TV in London and said, we've got to have one here. He started a GoFundMe page, and within about, 48 hours, got enough money to actually build 6 of the balloons. And the first of them to come to Chicago is this weekend. So stay out of Grant Park or flock to Grant Park. The News Click asked you this. Guess who's coming to Chicago? Baby Trump. And you had two options. A, that's awesome. I can't wait to see it. Or B, that is terrible and disrespectful. Our text messages yesterday were more along that line, terrible and disrespectful. But the News Click said 78%, that's great. I can't wait to see it. And 22% of you thought it was awful. That's the way the News Click goes sometimes. We have a new News Click today. Producer, I'll let the new News Click is, please.
That Kanye West / Donald Trump press briefing was A, amusing and maybe did some good. B, was amusing and harmless. C, was just ridiculous. D, was actually counterproductive. Took issues back a step.
We were putting this one together. We had about 40 different options. Well, how about if we say this? Well, what if we say that? I don't know what to do with this, except that people are the country are still talking about the Kanye West Donald Trump summit of sorts. We're going to have a nice lunch. Jim Brown was there. You didn't see Ivanka and Jared in the video, but they were there too. And Kanye just held court, as he sometimes can. And so yesterday, as it was on TV and we were kind of watching it in the background, and you knew something was going on, I was kind of half watching it. We recorded it, and then afterwards, I started to listen back to it. And the first couple things that Kanye said, I thought were sort of interesting, almost made sense in a circuitous kind of way. He said that too many African Americans are about the brand and not the land. But since we don't have the means for home ownership, we attach ourselves to bling. We do flashy things, which are the substitute for things of substance, the brand over bland. I hadn't thought about it that way. I mean, I have, but he put it more poetically. And so, okay, that's a point. We got to fix that, said Kanye. And then he said something else that sort of made sense. But then Kanye just started talking some more.
And the reason why a lot of black people end up being Democrats, they say, you know, first of all, it's a limit to amount of jobs. So the fathers lose the jobs and they say, we'll give you more money.
And after a while, everybody sort of realized, oh my gosh, this is going to take a bit, so we'll just sit back and...
And now you have Chirac, what people call Chirac, which is actually our murder rate is going down by 20% every year. I just talked to this...
I'm glad the president heard him say that.
Sachs, that's Ron's right-hand man. So I think it's the bravery that helps you beat this game called life.
And everybody's eyes just sort of glazed over a little bit. And they knew they were in for something special. And I thought this was important.
And my mom.
Important's not the right way to put it. But what was interesting, what was maybe opportunistic about it, was that here's this crazy Chicago hip-hop artist who could not be more different in background than Donald Trump, right? They just came from different worlds. And yet there they are in the White House yakking and yucking it up, having some sort of communion. And I thought, okay, is that necessarily a bad thing? Mary Mitchell in the paper today said, actually, it's probably a step back because it's such a missed opportunity. Other people thought it was terrific. So you have four options. Maybe it was amusing and did some good. Young black man from Chicago is trying to talk some truth to the president. Or maybe it was amusing but harmless. Nothing good accomplished, but no harm was done. Or maybe it was just ridiculous. It was an unfortunate spectacle. Or it was actually counterproductive. Here was a missed opportunity, and the president now says, good, I talked about that, when in fact you didn't talk about anything. You just listened to Kanye
do his... It's called the Yeezy Effect. And I went to Casper. We had a meeting in Chicago. And I said...
It just went on like that for... In fact, I think they're still meeting right now. Just going on and on and on.
Well, that's the problem. He made some good points, it's lost with all the other stuff. So it really matters how you present something.
How are you going to vote on this then?
I'm going to say I was amused, to say the least. I didn't think it set us back because, I mean, every day is a missed opportunity if you want to look at it like that.
Yeah, right. That's why. Well, I might be inclined to say it was just ridiculous. It was almost amusing and harmless for me. This is Trump land. You know, there's a horse in the hospital. That's just the way it is now. Every day's nutty. This was harmless. It was half amusing.
And the president looked very presidential listening to him.
Well, by comparison, yeah.
He wasn't the wild card in the room, which...
That's the... You know, really, if, say, in 2000, I don't know, pick a year, 10, 14, 15 and a half, if you said, I'm going to do time travel, we're going to go forward 2 years, wait until you see this, and then you see a picture of Donald Trump sitting at the Oval Office desk, and across from him is Kanye wearing a MAGA hat, you would say, that scene will never happen. That will not be a reality.
Or you'll look at it and say, well, President Trump is doing a good job.
Yeah, reaching out to the African-American community in Chicago.
Taken out of context, it could look like a pretty good picture.
And that's why it was a missed opportunity, because better it be Chance the Rapper sitting there, just as a for instance. At least that guy seems to be a little more thoughtful, less egotistical. I don't know what Chance is going to say to the president, but I think that if you were going to say, let's get a young, you know, music artist from Chicago in the city and tell the president what it's really like, what we really need to do. I like Chance's chances better.
But, you know, the difference there is Chance is actually in Chicago making a difference.
Right, yeah.
And Kanye's not.
He's Kardashian
not here.
Land.
He's elsewhere, just like his mind sometimes.
But, so there was Kanye, and he said to the president, he said, stop and frisk, I'm not for. And then somebody asked the president about that. They said, Kanye says he doesn't think stop and frisk is a good idea, but you do like stop and frisk. What do you think about that? The president threw up his hands and said, I'm open. I've got an open mind. You know, you also get to feel the president said, I come to Chicago a lot. I've got things there, you know. Really? When was the last time Donald Trump was here? Does he come to Chicago a lot? When's the last time he spent time here? When's the last time he rode around in a squad car on a Friday night? Or better yet, a Tuesday afternoon? You know, I'd like him to see Chicago not as this caricature, you know, but terrible things are happening there. Not so bad. Kanye pointed out, shootings are down. Hello, Mr. President, the shootings are down. It's not good that we have one shooting, but A, we're not the murder capital of the country. Per capita, a lot of lovely cities are much worse. And B, the shooting rate is down. So... anyway, you get a chance to sort of sound off on that. You know what we were really sounding off on yesterday was the movie A Star is Born, which I don't know if you know, but Chicago City Council passed an ordinance. You have to see the movie, okay? You just have to see this movie. Oh, my God, you've got to see this movie. It is so good.
Was Madigan behind that, too?
Mike Madigan. So,
forcing you to cry at The Star is Born.
Crying Democrat Mike Madigan wants you to see A Star is Born.
Pritzker's watching off of his porcelain throne.
So I was happy to hear Bill F. and Wendy talk about it today. And Wendy and Bill were talking about it. And Bill, I don't remember now what Wendy's view on it was, but Bill didn't think it was all that in a bag of chips. And like I said yesterday, I thought the movie was fine, but I didn't cry, really, and it didn't move my world. It was fine.
I'm with you. I didn't cry either. I thought it was really good, but it wasn't phenomenal.
Yeah, everybody that's telling everybody how good it is, stop it, because it can't be that good. We've done it again.
Yeah, I just thought it was great, and I thought Lady Gaga was fantastic, but I don't know. It wasn't the best thing I've ever seen.
It wasn't life-changing?
No.
No.
I haven't seen it yet, so...
Lady let slip out. By the way, Kim, you weren't here yesterday. A woman called in, and she let slip out how the movie ends. And you should have seen Elif's and Violetta's faces just
dropped. I was in shock for a second. I'm like, did she just? No, I was just in shock that she said it so openly.
Well, I mentioned this to my son, Griff, who's like the movie expert in my world. You know, he's the producer with the goal of watching a movie a day this year. And he said, well, the franchise goes back almost 100 years. This is the least the fourth iteration. So,
and they all end this way, right?
I know, and they all end the same way.
So, and I really never saw the other ones. And I may have walked out of the theater feeling better and loving it more had it not been so horribly sad at the end.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so I Googled movies that make us cry. And there's a movie scene that I think is one of the most profound movie scenes I've ever seen at the end of a movie. And I'm sitting there watching it in the office today. And Elif gives me a sideway glance. And she goes, Are you? And I was in a minute. Mary Jane, this is John Williams. What is the problem with you?
Are you singing with me, John?
Yes.
Oh, yes, about the movie. That there's a law that everyone has to go see it.
Yeah.
They don't tell you about the language. They use that F word four times in a six-word sentence. It, you know, you don't talk like that at your house to your wife, do you?
No.
Your friends don't talk like that daily, in and out.
No.
My family don't ever talk like that.
No, but you guys aren't rock stars.
We aren't blues alcoholics either.
Well, I know, but they said it's such a fabulous movie. How could it be so fabulous when you have to sit there and listen to that garbage over and over and over again? How many times did they use that word in that movie?
93.
I would bet you it's close to 1,000 times. and other people will say, well, I didn't even notice it. How could you not notice it?
You know what word she wants to use right now?
I know, Elif and me. Elif, see if somebody's done that. How many times did they use the F-bomb on the movie The Star is Born?
On the radio, wouldn't you?
You know, I can't use it on the radio. Do you know what also just kind of I noticed about the language? I noticed the F-bombs, but I just thought it was in context. I don't normally talk that way. But I thought that the voices of Sam Elliott and what's his face?
Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Cooper were just so low and so authentically cowboy and kind of drunk. I couldn't understand what they were saying sometimes. I mean, and it didn't take away from my appreciation of or understanding of the movie, but I noticed that. Elif is going to look up, just out of curiosity's sake, to answer your question, how many times it's dropped in there. It didn't bother me. Thank you for the phone call, Mary Jane. I appreciate you joining us. I didn't get to the movie that I said was the scene that I thought was so dramatic.
I know. I'm on the edge of my seat here.
Me
waiting
too.
To hear what it is.
It's the final scene of Captain Phillips. Do you remember the movie with Tom Hanks?
Never saw it.
You're going to love the movie. You know, it's where Somali pirates capture his ship and they try and survive. It's a true story.
I am the captain now.
That's a guy named Barkhad Abdi who was discovered in Minneapolis at a casting call. He, by trade, is a cab driver. And his friends, there's a big Somali community in Minnesota. They said, hey, they're casting for a Somali pirate. We look like Somali pirates. They do. And so if you get in a cab, you go, are you a Somali pirate? So he goes over and he tries out for the movie and he gets it. He's co-starring with Tom Hanks in the movie. The final scene, it's another bit of authentic casting, if you will. I mean, you know, not a traditional actor, but after Tom Hanks survives this ordeal, Captain Phillips does.
Hold on. Spoiler alert. You know, continue.
So he survives and it's so traumatic. And there's been bullets and bloodshed and chaos. And he had somewhat bonded with one of these pirates a little bit anyway. And so in the final scene, they shot it where he sort of decompresses. And they go, yeah, that was okay, but we don't feel like it had the emotional heft we want the final scene of the movie to have. And the real Captain Phillips was on the set at the time. And he said, well, this isn't exactly what happened. They said, what happened? He said, well, we were in the dispensary or the medical room. And they go, what? Where's that? And he shows them. And he says, it was here that I went that I sort of decompressed. They said, well, let's try it there. So they rather ad-libbed the scene. They bring in the blood-splattered Tom Hanks as Captain Phillips. And he is distraught emotionally and physically. And then they sit him on the examination table and they bring in the woman who is in fact the medic on the ship. She's not an actress. And they say, you go into that room and do for Tom Hanks in character what you did or would do in this situation. And the scene in part plays out like this.
Captain Phillips, please come in. Have a seat. I'm Chief O'Brien. I'll be your corpsman today, okay? Can you please tell me what's going on? Can you talk? Can you tell me what's going on?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Are you okay? Because you don't look okay. Are you in any pain right now? Right there on your side. A little bit?
A little bit.
Okay, is it tender? Go ahead and put your arm down. Okay, I need you to look at me. I need you to calm down. I need you to breathe. There you go. Deep breaths. There you go. Okay, we're going to put this little thing on your finger, and we're going to get your heart rate and your oxygen level. Make sure you're breathing okay.
Okay.
What happened to your head? Captain, can you tell me what happened to your head?
Put on your
head.
It's okay. Take your time. There's a 2-centimeter laceration on the left eyebrow.
Okay.
I want you to look at me and I want you to breathe. Do you understand?
Yeah,
gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. There's about a 4-centimeter gap. A little laceration there on the left temple. Did all this blood come from your eyebrow and your head?
What?
Did all the blood come from your eyebrow right here and on your head?
Well, not
all
that,
of this.
No, not all of it.
Okay.
That's not mine.
Okay. All right. Look at me.
The scene is so believable. And she's the real deal. And you are just so happy that in our universe, there is a woman like her who, on the one hand, is tending to his physical needs, but is attentive to his emotional situation, too. And then it's not an actress. I mean, this is a real doctor who's doing this. So it was just a touching scene. Out of context if you've not seen the movie, but you go back and watch it, you'll remember that forever. The news is next. This is WGN. So we've been talking the last few days about A Star Is Born, because everybody's talking about A Star Is Born, and what a great movie it is, and how everybody's been crying. Cry. But some of you have been complaining because you're not comfortable with the language. They drop way too many F-bombs in that movie. In fact, when our last listener complained about that, she could barely bring herself to say the F-word. I mean, she didn't even want to say the letter F. She did not want to say, quote, F-word, because that was uncomfortable for her. I appreciate that. She said, I wonder how many times they do it. And I quipped 97. But then my nephew, who's been listening in Missouri, sent me a link to an article. And I believe producer Elif found it as well. Somebody literally counted the F-bombs in the movie. Elif, how many do we have, please?
Bradley Cooper used the F-word 54 times in A Star Is Born.
Well, now we need to know. That's just the Bradley Cooper count. Do we know what the total is or what Lady Gaga's count is? Because she used it a few times, too. I'll tell you what, producer Elif, watch the movie during the next hour and a half. Run to the cinema. Watch the movie. Count the F-bombs. Get back to us by 3. If anybody else can fill us in on the total, we'd appreciate it. It's not the cussinest movie ever, but it's a cusser.
I haven't seen it, but I'm kind of shocked that people are offended by the F word.
Lots of texts about the movie. This one says from 847, "You people are crazy. I saw it on Sunday. I'm still not over it. I feel like they were real people," which is what the Manfredinis said to me when they got out of there. They go, "That was a real movie about real people."
They are real people.
Well, yes, touche, but you get the point. Hey, listen, are you guys going to do this? The Open House Chicago weekend is this weekend. The weather's going to cooperate, too. Eric Rogers is in our studio right now, the manager of Open House Chicago and of community outreach at the Chicago Architecture Center, which has moved its new location to just a few doors down from us. And Tom Kerwin is here. He's the founding principal of BKL Architecture and is one of the people involved in this thing, too. Fellas, welcome to the show. How are you?
Well, thank you, John, for having us.
Yeah, we're doing great. Thanks.
You guys got good radio voices, too.
No, can't compare to yours.
That's Tom Kerwin. He's a founding principal of BKL Architecture. Eric, you go first. Open House Chicago, what is it?
It is a free citywide weekend festival. Folks have the opportunity to explore over 250 participating locations, as far north as Evanston and Wilmette, as far south as Beverly and Morgan Park, all the way out to Oak Park. Totally free, no tickets, no reservations.
Not just the city of Chicago, then, obviously.
No, we're a little bit outside the city limits now.
It's a good way to describe it, buildings or places that you always wondered what it's like in there. Now you get to go in there and root around a little bit.
Right, yeah, scratch that itch, see what it looks like in there, answer those questions, learn a little bit.
So is it residential? Is it industrial? What kind of places are we talking about?
It's kind of all of the above. You know, something for everyone. We've got a lot of iconic buildings, like I say, capital A architecture, both old and new, historic and contemporary. You know, sacred spaces, industrial facilities where well-known Chicago products are made, public spaces, amenity areas, and residential buildings. So no matter what you're interested in, you can probably find a space that you're going to be curious about.
How do they pick them?
Well, I spend my whole year doing that. I do a lot of research. I talk to a lot of community organizations, a lot of architects.
And you get a lot of volunteer suggestions, too?
We do take a lot of suggestions, and I'm glad you brought up volunteers, because it takes an army to put this event together, and we're actually still recruiting them. If anybody wants to volunteer, they can do it right on our website, which is openhousechicago.org. We're still putting people to work this weekend.
Openhousechicago.org. So your studio or building is one of them?
Actually, our studio, where we practice, is one of the sites, but also one of the buildings we designed is one of the sites.
So tell me about either or both.
Well, our studio is not far from here, actually, either. It's in the Aqua Building. And
Nice.
Yeah, we have a pretty generous studio with great ceiling heights and great open space with lots of drawings and models on display for people to look and see what we're doing.
That's BKL Architecture.
That's BKL Architecture.
What's the one that you designed that's also on the tour?
Well, the other site that we've been involved with is called GEMS Chicago, and actually it's not far from here either. It's right next door. It's a school for a private school, K through fourth grade school, that is open to the public.
So what's unique about that? Why do I want to go look at a kindergarten school?
Well, it's a school that's really serving students from K through 8 right now, but it's a high-rise school. It's it is one of very few examples of this new prototype for high-rise schools in an urban area where land is at a premium and schools are vertical, not necessarily horizontal like maybe the schools we went to.
My wife and I, and kids, lived in LaGrange Park for a long time, and then we moved in Minneapolis, lived there for a while. I hadn't really lived or worked in downtown Chicago as much as I have now. And I'm getting used to vertical grocery stores, three-story Mariano's. And, you know, I'm just like, or the Target, for crying out loud. You know, with those cool elevators or escalators for your cart and all of that. And the first time I went into the Mariano's that was two or three stories, I thought, where is the stuff? I thought, this is the worst grocery store I've ever seen. They don't even have a produce department. And somebody goes, well, it's upstairs. I go, up where?
On my first visit there, I went up and down so many times. It's not
I
even
know.
Funny.
I look like an idiot trying to just grocery shop. But I guess that's a challenge in an urban area. Huh?
Yeah, as urban areas grow, I mean, the world is urbanizing. People are moving back to cities, and people need places to educate their children, and land's at a premium. So you have a small footprint. The only solution is to really go vertical. So it's a fascinating example of that building type.
If you said, okay, John, I'll take you on a tour of any building in Chicago you want, I might think of some of the skyscrapers. I might think Willis or Trump or Sears or Hancock or whatever. That isn't even called Hancock or Sears anymore, is it? It's Willis, Trump, and...
Well, good luck keeping track
and
of
the
it.
Address, I think, is just all they use right. for the Hancock now, technically. Are those on there?
None of those are this year. We've had some spaces in a couple of those buildings, but the lineup changes from year to year. This year, a lot of our most iconic downtown sites are clustered around Jackson and LaSalle. Of course, the Chicago Board of Trade building, which is open on Sunday, lets people down into their basement vault, which is an all-time favorite of ours. I have to give a shout-out to our presenting sponsor, Wintrust. They've done a lot for this event, but they're opening up their 80,000-square-foot grand banking hall at 231 South LaSalle. You usually have to be doing business with them to get in there, and it's glorious, these murals of the World's Columbian Exposition. Absolutely amazing.
The Tribune has a story today by Kit Hawbaker, and it has some of the buildings that they highlighted. The Arts Club of Chicago, the Chicago Tribune Freedom Center, that's where they used to print the paper, correct?
It's where they still print the paper, and that's actually one of the very few, because that is such a sought-after site, that's a ticketed site that people had to enter a lottery in advance to get
really?
To visit.
So yeah. Is that over now? I can't get into that one?
Well, hopefully they'd let you in, but...
no, I'm not going to pull rank. Fraternity Notre Dame?
So that's one of 11 new sites that we're featuring out in Austin on the west side, and we're so excited to have that neighborhood join the event for the first time ever. It's a former Methodist church that's been taken over by a group of French nuns. They have mass there every morning at 5:30, and then they run a food pantry. We're getting that space unlocked and thrown open to visitors. It's really cool.
The plant, what's this?
An interesting building in back of the yards. Used to be a meatpacking facility, and it's been repurposed as an urban agriculture operation and kind of incubator for food businesses. So you can see a kombucha brewery. There's a beer brewery, Winer, which I love their beer. Free plug for them. A bakery, you can get pizza there and see aquaponics in action.
What about you? What are some of the buildings besides your own that are highlights for you on this year's tour?
Well, there's a beautiful church in the South Loop on South Michigan Avenue called Second Presbyterian Church. I'm sure, you know, I went by that church so many times in my life, and I'm sure others have walked by it or driven by it. And going in the church and seeing the incredible stained glass windows that you really don't understand them from the outside, and when you're on the inside, the color and the beauty is just phenomenal. So I would recommend that one. If you're an architecture buff and you haven't seen Crown Hall at IIT,
Got to make the pilgrimage.
Why? You know? What are you talking about here?
I mean, that's the birthplace of modernism in this country. Just about the epitome of less is more, Mies van der Rohe's masterpiece.
So this is, the name of this building is?
Crown Hall. And it's basically the architecture school at IIT, and it's named after Henry Crown of the Crown family, but it's Mies van der Rohe's, probably one of his finest works, and where he trained a whole generation of architects that had a big influence on Chicago.
So when I go in there, what do I do?
Well, I think the cool thing about going to that building is you get to see an incredible work of architecture, but you're also going to experience what it's like to be an architecture student in a prominent school of architecture.
So are there docents at these locations then who kind of explain to you, or do you just, is it self-guided? I mean, you've got so many locations. I don't know how you staff all of this.
So we do use a lot of volunteers, but we actually kind of joke that it's like architectural speed dating. So many of the sites do provide some kind of guidance, some kind of short tour experience, but we know a lot of visitors are out there trying to see 10, 15, 20 things in a single day. So you might learn one or two things, see a cool space, take a couple of photos.
It's the way it is with our friends, the Petersons. I think they leave the car idling and they get in and they check a place out and they go, oh my God, okay, this, okay, we saw it. Okay, now, and let's go. And off they go,
check
to
it off
place,
the list.
You know? So how many people do this then? I mean, do you have any way of counting heads?
We actually do try to count everybody that does it. Last year, we had some terrible weather, and in spite of that, we were just under 100,000 visitors who participated in this. So it is truly a citywide scale event. And it's mostly people who live here who do it. It's us exploring our own city, going to neighborhoods that we've never been to, and seeing spaces that we've been curious about.
Do other cities do this? What a good idea.
They do. We're part of a growing worldwide network of similar events. Open House London started 25 years ago. They're still the big kahuna But we are actually, we believe, the second largest event of this kind in the world at this point by audience. Just such a testament to Chicago's architecture.
And if it's a municipal building, you say it's a public university or the post office or something like that, if it's something the tax dollars went to, we ought to be able to see it. I don't know if you think about it in those terms or if you try and get some places that otherwise you can't get past security, but I think we have a right to some of this, too.
Well, I definitely agree with that. And I think that, you know, sometimes we have to push and pry the door open a little bit. But one site that I'm super excited about this year, speaking of that kind of thing, is the Terrence J. O'Brien Water Reclamation Plant. It's technically up in Skokie. But this will be the first time that the Water Reclamation District has gotten involved. And, you know, this is a facility of architectural and historical merit. And they treat our wastewater and they can tell you all about that process. It's incredible.
I suppose it is. In fact, you know what's on my bucket list? My wife and I are walking up and down the lake the other day, and out on the distance, you see those water treatment buildings or pods out there. I want to go there.
Yeah, those are the intakes. That's actually where the water's taken in to the system.
Okay, I had an idea that they were just pumping sludge back out into the lake out there. That's
we quit doing that a while ago.
It's far enough. We don't bother with what we're doing here. No sludge here to look at, fellas. So I thought it was the stuff. That's the water coming in.
That's our drinking water.
And then we treat it and drink it and stuff like that.
Yeah, it gets treated right next to Navy Pier for downtown in the north side. And there's an equivalently huge plant down at Rainbow Beach in South Shore that serves the south side and the south suburbs.
Would there be anything to see out there? I want to go out there in a boat and look.
That is an itch I have not been able to scratch. There's so many security concerns around our fresh drinking water that...
I guess they don't need me over there. I'd be good, but I appreciate the concern. Fellas, this is really interesting. Eric Rogers is the manager of Open House Chicago and of the community outreach program at the Chicago Architecture Center, which in itself is a gem in the city. And Tom Kerwin is a founding principal of BKL Architecture. His studio is featured, as are one of the buildings that he himself designed, or you and your people, huh, Tom?
Yes, sir.
Fellas, what a pleasure. Good luck. We're all really excited. I'm glad you've got better weather for this weekend. It's free. The venues are. Maybe a handful of them are ticketed, so pay attention to that. But otherwise, you just show up and kick around. You want to go online, sort of plan your route out, and make sure that your hours coincide with each location's hours. And the website is?
It's openhousechicago.org. We also have a full printed guide that came out with the Chicago Tribune yesterday in their full circulation, and a stack of those should be available while supplies last at pretty much every participating site, so grab it and go.
Thanks, fellas. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, John.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
I do.
Here's John Williams.
The problem is, you don't always agree with them. Hi, it's John, but that's okay as long as we get together and have a good time and
Lord have mercy.
Sort of have our hearts and minds open. I think that's something to shoot for. We go till 3 weekdays, 1 to 3 on WGN. Saturdays, the John Williams Show from 10 a.m. to noon. On social media, it's WGN King John. Remember, we post a daily web poll question. We call it the News Click. It's something going on in the news that we ask you to think about and then give us your opinion on. After 2:30, we'll do our segment where we highlight things to do in Chicago this weekend, including what we talked about in the last half hour. And that is the Open House Chicago going on tomorrow and Sunday throughout the city. Openhousechicago.org is the website for that. And then we'll do the bright side. You'll call or text in, tell us some good news in your world while you are smiling, and we will smile with you. The bright side, I'm advertising 2:45 for that today. Lori Lightfoot is in our studio. She's running for mayor of Chicago. She's in our studio. Lori, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much for having me.
I said to Lori, I'm trying to figure out how to best introduce you, but I don't have all day. So, so what should I say? Should I say former senior executive in the city of Chicago, police board president, federal prosecutor? What do you? Did I miss any others that you'd like our audience to know about that you think make you best qualified to be mayor?
Well, I think that the thing that your audience should know is that I'm a person who's got a lot of experience in helping run various big departments in the city government, whether it's police department, the 911 center that does 911, Homeland Security, dealing with emergencies, or the city's procurement department. I've been a senior executive in all those departments and have a lot of experience in how city government works. So the solutions that I'm proposing for the challenges that we face as a city are born of that experience and really listening to the lived experience of people all over the city.
A lot of articles that I read about you often mention, it says, the only openly gay candidate in the crowded race for mayor on Thursday chose National Coming Out Day to lift the veil on her policy agenda, et cetera, et cetera. Is your orientation or your skin color something that helps you or hurts you, or you're going to campaign on or put to the side? What box do you put that in?
Well, it is who I am. All of the experiences, all of my, the way in which I move through the world, the way in which people react to me because of what they perceive and who I am, absolutely informs the way I look at the city and the way that I believe that I can bring solutions to the challenges that face a lot of people all across the city. So it's not just one or the other. It's an amalgam of life experiences that I think have prepared me for this moment.
We ask all the candidates, what are the biggest challenges? I mean, what's job one for the next mayor?
Well, I think what should be happening now and isn't is really having a comprehensive plan to cut down on the violence that's casting fear in way too many neighborhoods across our city. We need to start looking at the violence issue as a public health crisis. That's why I proposed a very comprehensive public safety program that puts the public health framing to it, because it helps us look at the root causes of the violence. We are now operating in a reactive law enforcement first and only posture that frankly isn't solving the problems. And people all over the city, in every neighborhood, not just on the south side or the west side, but in the north side and other areas of the city, are feeling afraid and anxious about the violence that's creeping up in every neighborhood.
That's a problem in the suburbs, too. And, you know, I was telling you off the air, I got friends in Minneapolis and family in Peoria, and some of them look at Chicago and they go, that's why I bring up the suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to come to this great city. I moved back into the city. And yet people that don't live here or who haven't visited here in a while are afraid mm-hmm. of Chicago.
Well, look, there's a lot of greatness to the city. We're sitting downtown looking out at the fabulous lake and the river. But we need to make sure that we are uplifting the quality of life in every neighborhood. We've spent a lot of time, particularly over the last 7 years, really emphasizing certain parts of the city and ignoring other parts. Our neighborhoods are starving for resources. We can have a city where we don't have 25% unemployment rate in neighborhood after neighborhood.
Do you put that on the mayor, the current mayor's
Absolutely.
Doorstep?
Absolutely.
He's the downtown mayor. He's the business mayor.
He's mayor 1%. Whatever you want to say, what I know is the results of his policies have expanded the gap between the haves and the have-nots. And the reality is poverty's not cheap. We're paying for that lack of investment on the front end of lives of kids and families and communities. And if we don't do something to reinvest in neighborhoods, to give people an opportunity to connect up with the legitimate economy, we're going to pay even more. We're paying because people are leaving the city. We're gutting our middle class. And for the rest of us who stay, the financial burden is going to be profound.
Hasn't Rahm done a lot to try and get more business investment in Chicago?
In the downtown area. But that
Does he control that? Would you be able to
of course.
Tell these people where to be or how to be?
You ask people to partner with you and invest in other parts of the city. If you see people and you see the need, then you go to these corporations, you go to these business people, many of whom want to be good corporate citizens, and you ask them to partner with you in investing in the neighborhoods who desperately need
good jobs. How do you do that?
Jobs.
Do you give them tax breaks or some sort of incentives, infrastructure?
Well,
I don't know.
There's not one size fits all, but I think you've got to use all the tools in your toolkit to get the businesses to understand the necessity of investing all over the city. I mean, for example, we have neighborhoods all across the south and the west sides where there's not a decent pharmacy, where they don't have a grocery store. You mean to tell me that we couldn't go to a Dominick's or a Mariano's or a Trader Joe's or some of these other grocery stores and say, partner with us and let's go to XYZ neighborhood. Let's talk about how we can build the infrastructure that you need to be successful and to make sure that your bottom line is met. But let's do that together in a partnership. I don't think those kind of conversations are happening. When we talk about, for example, Amazon, right? First of all, we still don't know what the package of incentives are to lure Amazon to our city. But any kind of company like that, that has a huge potential for investment in a city, we have to ask the question of partnership. We have to pose that question to them. And we don't do that. We just say, here you are with welcome arms. Let's give you more taxpayer dollars for incentives. But meanwhile, our neighborhoods are starving.
I worry sometimes how we give the store to these businesses that we want to come here, like an Amazon, or I don't recall exactly what the deal was for Boeing, but, you know, I want them to be here, but I also want them to pay their fair share. And how you figure that out is, I guess, the devil in the details. But I'm still not clear on how you persuade them to go to the south or west side if they look at that area and think, why do I have to be the agent of change? I'll go to the area that's most attractive to me and my employees. And, you know, I'm not a community outreach program. I'm a private business. I love everything you said. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to articulate what I think the challenge of that is.
Well, I'm very clear-eyed about the challenge, but if you don't ask, the answer is always no.
And you really actually don't think that the city has been doing that, engaging enough in the private sector?
There's no possibility that they have a comprehensive plan to bring economic development to these neighborhoods that are so resource starved. If the city takes the lead and makes the first investment and starts building a narrative about what the possibilities are in these neighborhoods instead of just the challenges, if that was actually really a focus, we would see a very different landscape south of Roosevelt Road and west of Ashland.
What's your view on the Obama I want to call it library. That's not what they're calling
Presidential
it.
Center.
What do you make of that? How have they done on that?
You know, I think, look, I'm very encouraged by the fact that the neighbors in that neighborhood where the Presidential Center are going to go have pointed out a number of things that they think are absolute necessities. I want to make sure, for example, that the cost of the construction of the Presidential Center is not just falling on Chicago taxpayers, that the state and the federal government are also bearing their fair share of those expenses, because it's going to be a substantial cost to stand up that Presidential Center, close down roads and so forth. But I think the people in those neighborhoods who are articulating a vision of what that neighborhood needs should be commended. And I believe that the Obama folks in the Presidential Center are listening, but clearly there's more work that needs to be done, because all of the tensions that are there have not been resolved yet.
Yeah, I was a little surprised at the amount of tension. You would think that that kind of investment from that man and his foundation and that location, what could go wrong? But it sounds like they didn't engage the locals enough.
Well, I mean, I think that the lesson learned from that is that you can't take anything for granted. Look, President Obama is beloved in this city, and rightfully so. But we also need to know that people have very strong opinions about their neighborhoods. People love their neighborhoods. Even the most economically distressed, crime-plagued neighbors, people love where they are, and they want to make sure that they're heard and that they're respected. And that's one of the things that I will do to really transform city government, is be a mayor who actually listens to the people.
What do you make of the president continually bringing up Chicago as this dysfunctional, dangerous place? What would you say if you were Kanye and you were at that lunch yesterday?
Well, I'm mindful of the fact that we're on radio, so I'll choose my words carefully. Look, it's easy to be a critic, but as the saying goes, it's not the critic who counts. What counts is people here in the city who love the city, who are working hard every single day to make this a great city for everyone. That's what counts. And if Trump or Jeff Sessions or anybody else from Washington truly cared about Chicago, they'd actually come to Chicago. They'd invest in taking time to learn about the city on a block-by-block basis. They're not willing to do that. They're just standing from their higher heights, casting aspersions on people here. So, frankly, I don't give it much attention, because I think what we need to do is focus on making sure that the solutions for Chicago are generated by the people that are here.
But your thoughts then about a sanctuary city are the same as the current mayor's then?
No, they're different. And they're different because I don't think that our police department should be cooperating with ICE. And that's one of the exemptions to the sanctuary city. I think we've got to close that exemption. On the basis of an ICE agent signing something and then going to the police department and trying to get a detainer or an arrest warrant, of course, we've got to comply with valid court orders, but this is a city that should truly be welcoming, and we can't be welcoming if our police department still has the ability to cooperate with ICE, particularly given how politicized Donald Trump has made ICE.
Understood, but I thought the city of Chicago is not as cooperative. That's the point of these suits. The city of Chicago is a welcoming city.
It's a welcoming
not an
city.
Arm of ICE.
It's a welcoming city with exceptions to its ordinance.
So you would make it even tighter. You would even make it more welcoming, if you will.
Absolutely.
You would almost ensure that we never get that $2 million grant from Jeff Sessions, in other words.
I don't think $2 million is worth having people all over the city feeling like they're terrorized by an arm of the federal government that Donald Trump has used as a spear to frighten immigrant communities. It's not worth that.
What do you make of frisk and catch
and frisk?
Stop and frisk.
It's a terrible policy. It's a terrible policy that doesn't yield the kind of results that, for example, Gary McCarthy thought it would when he unleashed stop and frisk all over the South and the West Sides. It was stopped in New York. And when it was stopped in New York, Police Superintendent Kelly said, oh, Lord, if we stop and frisk, crime is going to go through the roof. Well, guess what? Crime in New York has actually plummeted after stop and frisk was stopped by a federal judge. It's not the right policy. It's not focused on actually doing deterrence to the people who are causing the most harm in communities. It's just stop everything for the sake of stopping everything. It's a misguided policy that we can't bring back to our city.
Lori Lightfoot's in our studio. She's running for mayor. One of our listeners texted in and said, could you ask her about her views on medicinal marijuana, or for that matter, I'll ask recreational marijuana. What do you think about that in general?
Well, medicinal marijuana was obviously already the law of the land in the state of Illinois, and poll after poll demonstrates that people in the city want marijuana. People in the state want marijuana to be legalized, and that's obviously a state issue. My only concerns about that is I want to make sure that we learn the lessons from other states. Colorado has had legalized marijuana for some time. Oregon's had legalized marijuana. A tale of two states. Colorado is thriving. They seem to have gotten it right. Oregon, their marijuana industry has just collapsed.
Would you be open to that, having recreational stores in Chicago if the law went that way?
Yeah, I am open to it. I support it. As long as we learn the lessons, make sure that the economic benefit actually goes to these neighborhoods who have been devastated by the war on drugs, and we do everything that we can to keep marijuana out of the hands of our children.
Last thing from you, Lori, something you want to say, or maybe this, how are you going to distinguish yourself from the other candidates? There's 473 people running for
a couple busloads, right? Well, look, I think the way that I distinguish myself is by reaching out to people in every neighborhood and talking about making sure that we use equity and inclusion as the North Stars of our government, putting people first, being a mayor who listens and respects the lived experience of people all over the city, whether it's tackling violence, which we have a specific plan for, and I'd refer your listeners to our website, whether it's looking at what needs to happen with good government and making sure, frankly, that we're not giving a warmer embrace to a corrupt individual like Joe Barrios, as Tony Preckwinkle has done, or taking on the tough challenges of making sure that our municipal finances are corrected by making sure that we eliminate a lot of the waste and squandering of tax dollars, and not treating taxpayers like an unending ATM machine. If you want some of the a la carte menu of the old, the tired, ward-style repolitics that frankly got us into a lot of messes that we're having to clean up now, there's a lot of candidates that you can choose from. But if you want someone who's truly independent, who's not going to be a captive of special interest, and who is going to work to put the people first and really clean up city government, then I'm your gal.
Well, come by our studio again. It's nice to meet you in person.
It's my pleasure.
Lori Lightfoot's running for mayor of Chicago. How many of us are going to do one of the open house Chicago things this weekend? Are you doing one of the open house? Are you doing the open house?
Yeah, and my friend sent a few suggestions, and I think one of them was London House.
So. Oh, no kidding. I want to go to the bar at London House. Phil Vitel said one of the great bars, wasn't that like one of his cool places to have a drink was the London House, which is the hotel sort of across Wacker from, say, the Wrigley Building downtown, right? Would you put it there on that corner?
It's like
Michigan and is it Michigan and Wacker, or is it down Wacker just a little bit?
It's down Wacker like bit. Half a block. Yeah, so I would say between Michigan and whatever that next street is.
You going to do this too, V? Are you going on one of those stops? No, she's not.
It looks really cool. And it's free.
Yes, and it's free.
She's letting us down easy.
That's okay. You know, you don't have to do it for us. If you don't want to do it, don't do it. By the way, we're just getting so many texts today. And they're about a lot of things. We're all over the map, right? Movies that made you cry. Folks are still texting us about A Star Is Born. A lot of you are texting us about how many F-bombs are in A Star Is Born. because you're old and fussy.
That's not fair, but
that's just what happens. It's okay. We all get older and we get fussy.
Some of us are fussy young.
I'm not that old yet, and I'm fussy. Actually, I did notice it. And as you do age, you change or you morph, or you maybe don't continue to change. And so some of your values or expectations get a little more set. And then as the world moves on, it's difficult for you to adapt. I mean, it's that way with electronic culture. It's that way with what you see in movies. And some of you are hearing about this lovely movie, and then you go, and there's Bradley Cooper, who in the movie A Star Is Born drops the F-bomb 43 times.
I just like the passion, though, of, you know, being so upset about it. Like, I don't know. I just never even thought of that. Being, you know, offensive to someone.
Another site counted the F-bombs. I mean, to your credit, those of you who are complaining about this, you're not the only ones to notice this. Vulture did an article about it online, and other websites that you'll never go to have been writing about this as well. John, more than 100 F-bombs and about 20 S-words. We also hear A, B, H, P, along with more than a dozen misuses of God's name, three of them with the D word. Okay.
But isn't that how you would expect a country rocker to talk? Like, I mean, it's
right,
not
it goes
out
to
of
the
line.
Character.
Right.
Right. Like if it were Sister Betrayal doing that, then I would go, oh my God, we have a problem here.
Right.
But it's, I'm
this
sorry.
This is a country rocker with lots of issues.
I'm about to do my country rocker Bradley Cooper voice. It's right there. And I mean, yeah, I watched the movie and I noticed it, but I felt so within context that.
Me too. It didn't bother me.
It would be wrong for me to ask them to speak any way other than that, right? If there's a problem with that language in the room I'm in, I'm the problem, not them, because it's their room.
Right. And I think this plays to what you were saying, though, all of these amazing reviews and saying this is the best movie ever. So then everyone wants to go see it, but it's maybe not necessarily for everybody.
Fair enough. 563 texted, great interview with the mayoral candidate, Lori Lightfoot, King John. 224 said, thank you, John. The marijuana question should be something that all WGN hosts should ask every candidate that comes on. Thank you. Really? I'm surprised that that's an issue for anybody that much. But fair enough. And the list goes on. So thanks for your text. We're going to do a segment we call The Bright Side. You'll call in, tell us some good news in your world after the news. We also have some recommendations of things that we think you might enjoy doing, all coming up on WGN. Fridays at this time, we give you something to do for the weekend. In fact, we give you a bunch of things to do. And producer Elif always starts us off with something musical. 2:37 on WGN. John Williams here. We're in the Allstate Skyline studio. Violetta has changed studios. She's in with us, too.
Yes, sir.
Hi, Ms. Garris. What do we got here?
This is Gorillaz. They'll be playing the United Center Tuesday at 7:30, and tickets are starting at $35 on Ticketmaster.com.
V, give me something to do this weekend.
The Women's March to the Polls is going on Saturday, 9 a.m. in Grand Park. There's going to be a voter village going on with 50 different exhibits and people there. There's also a first-time voter tent going on, so if you're a first-time voter, that might be a good idea. The march steps off at 12:30 from Jackson, and they are headed to Federal Plaza.
That's tomorrow, right?
That is tomorrow. It's going to be busy, so if you're not going to the march,
I know.
Don't go to Grand Park.
Open House Chicago's this weekend, too. That's Saturday and Sunday, the annual festival that lets you tour noteworthy buildings in Chicago that are closed for the rest of the year. For example, the Arts Club of Chicago. Admission is free. Everything you need to know, openhousechicago.org.
Would you say you're cheesy? Well, you can say cheese at the festival going on.
Because I didn't know if that was a good thing or a bad thing. Okay.
It is in this case. It's $40 to get in. It's on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 4:30. It's going to be up at Elston and North Avenue. You get drink tickets included in there and a bunch of vendors, and it looks really, really good.
I think this looks like fun. The Midwest Flair Fest at Thalia Hall. It's a showcase of flair vendors. Show your flair from around the world. They're selling pins and patches and wearable art. That is Sunday from noon to 4. Admission is free. More details at MidwestFlareFest.com.
Bloody Mary Festival is going on at Theater on the Lake on Sunday. That starts at 8:30 in the morning, and tickets range from $25 to $90. You can get them at Eventbrite.com. It's local restaurants that are competing for the best Bloody Mary in town, and it's the fourth year in a row.
Statesville's Haunted Prison is... Did I tell you my dad used to work at Stateville?
No.
I have been there before.
When it was a prison?
Yeah.
Wow.
In fact, Joliet Junior College basketball team played the inmates at Stateville. So we went and played their team, and they played
Were
our
you
team.
Scared?
You know, it was an eye-opener. Not that there was any chance I was going to be put in a federal penitentiary anytime soon. But when you just go through the gates and hear them close, and you kind of get the feel of permanence.
Uh-huh.
And then you see the guys who don't, after the game, get to go home. You go, I do not want to come back here. The whole thing was intimidating. And what breaks your heart is, a lot of the guys, you see a nice side of them. You know, you just feel, I know they did bad things to get there. I suppose they need to be there. But you also feel bad that they're there.
Yeah, I could see that.
But we digress. Stateville's Haunted Prison is open at 7 o'clock Thursdays through Sundays in October and Halloween night, too. $30 for general admission on Weber Road and Crest Hill. For details, go to StatesvilleHauntedPrison.com.
I've never been to a haunted house.
I've been to a couple, and I do not enjoy it.
I've waited in line for 2 hours and then walked out.
If you want to do it, go do it. It's just not my cup of tea.
Something a little bit more peaceful. The International Film Festival is going on at AMC River East. That's on Illinois Street, and it is ranging in prices. There's VIP packages and a bunch of different movies to see from around the world. It starts at $110. That's one of your cheapest VIP tickets, or you can just go to a regular show for like up to $8. So go check that out.
Fright Fest at Six Flags Great America, 6 p.m. Friday through Sunday, and October 25th through Halloween. Tickets are starting at $46 for Fright Fest at Six Flags. Go to sixflags.com.
Comic-Con is going on at Navy Pier, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. It's a three-day pass starting at $125 or a daily pass for $65. And you can get those at aceuniverse.com. Captain America is going to be there.
By the way, Lincoln Park Zoo's Harvest Fest dinner is at the patio. That is, Harvest dinner is at the patio. 6 to 8:30, $65 for admission. Lincoln Park Zoo's Harvest Dinner at the Patio. That's what it's called.
The patio is the restaurant there, and it's a great view overlooking the pond. I bet the leaves this time of year, they're turning. It's going to look great.
Okay, one more.
I have the makeup show going on Saturday and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. That's open to professionals or people that are interested in beauty, hair, or photography. $45 for the day or $62 for a two-day pass.
And for you sports fans, Bulls versus Nuggets at the United Center tonight at 7. Blackhawks and the Blues home at the United Center, 7:30. You'll hear that action on WGN. Okay, that's what we do on Fridays. Give them a few things to do. Now you're ready to read the text messages. You can call right now, 312-981-7200. Aleph will answer your phone call, and you tell her and me what it is that is your bright side. Or you can text to that number, too, 312-981-7200. We do this on Fridays, and it's Friday. So let's do the bright side. The bright side is sponsored by the Joint Relief Institute. We're anxious for your calls. I'm going to hit this button. Here we go.
Some things in life are bad. They can really make you mad.
312.
Other things just make you swear and curse.
981-7200.
When you're chewing on life's gristle.
Call or text.
Grumble. Give a whistle.
Get ready.
And this'll help things turn out for the best.
Sing it home. If you know the words.
Always look on the bright side of life.
Kevin will now whistle.
Always look on the light.
All right, Violetta Powder Medic, you go first. Give me some good news in your world.
I get to shop for baby clothes. I'm going to a second-year-old birthday party.
Oh, okay.
Happy birthday, Lorenzo.
I thought that was an announcement. No.
No, oh, my God, no.
Stop!
happy, silly chumps.
Yeah, what's your bright side? Why are you smiling today?
My Hershey Huskies 7-0 going to enemy territory. The 7-0 Rolling Meadow Mustangs conference title on the line. MLE's crown on the line. Go Huskies!
I only understood half of that.
Big game with the Hershey Huskies and Rolling Meadows tonight. Both undefeated.
That sounds like a good game. My birthday's this weekend. Brendan and I are going to spend a couple of days. And, well, next weekend, I don't know. It's the 19th.
Do you want me to shop for baby clothes for you, too?
Negative. And we're just going to take a little time and do a couple of things we've been meaning to do. So I'm looking forward to having a week off next week. I won't be here. Yes, that gets to be your bright side, too. All right, let's pick up a couple of phone lines. We'll talk to Kim on line one. You're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Kim?
Hi, John. We just bought tickets to Peru, so we get to see Machu Picchu and the Amazon.
Always look on the light side of life.
Wow. Kim, enjoy. We want a full report when you get back. Let's go to Bob. You're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Bob?
I'm smiling because back on August 6th, I had a stroke, and I'm an avid cyclist, and 2 months of pretty intense therapy. I can now walk around the house and walk outside with a walking stick. The bicycle's still off till next spring, but way better than 2 months ago.
I'm so glad to hear that. Thanks for the call. I can't wait for you to be on your bike. V, give me something to read.
708 says, on our way to see our son, Brennan, for a family weekend at the University of Wisconsin-Madison.
Madison. By the way, Kevin, you're on WGN. What's your bright side, Kev? Why are you smiling?
My bright side is my wife and I, on October 17th, are getting ready to celebrate our 37th wedding anniversary.
Woohoo.
Nice. What's the secret to a long marriage like that, Kevin?
I got to be honest. I really feel the day we got married on October 17th, 1981, it was raining. I think our good luck has been the rain.
I've heard that before, by the way. Hey, congratulations, Kevin. Thanks for the call. If life seems jolly, what do you got?
773 is adopting another dog this weekend. And 224 has date night with my man going to St. Charles Zanies.
What is your bright side, Helen? You're on WGN.
John, I'm sheet-caking again.
What?
Is that a nasty thing? What is sheet-caking?
Sheet-caking, Tina Fey, when the world is wacky.
Yes. Do you remember that scene?
Negative.
It was on Saturday Night Live. It was after the election or some crap. I think it was after Charlottesville, right? After Charlottesville, producer Elif is like winking at me. Right? And she came on and said, when life is crazy, eat sheet cake.
Yep. With an American flag on it.
Yeah, she wanted you to order a flag cake, sheet cake, and just like devour it. And then she did that. And we did too. It was a lot of fun. Always look on the rise. Violetta Potter Medic, go.
630, two sisters and a brother on a road trip to SD to visit our 89-year-old uncle, South Dakota.
This is Carl. You're on WGN. Why are you smiling today, Carl? You're on the air.
Hey John. I went to, hadn't been to a Galena in a long time. Went there for my birthday recently. It was really nice.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. Happy belated birthday to you, Carl.
Hey, thanks, John. Hey, John.
Here we go.
Would you like to hear my best Sam Elliott real quick?
All right.
Beef. What's for dinner tonight? Go Bears.
That's not bad. Go.
630, I'm going to an 80s-themed 40th birthday party, so I get to look ridiculous.
Addison, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling?
Hey, John, this is Addison. I'm taking 13 middle school runners to the IESA state finals in Normal, Illinois. It's going to be a great time.
Oh, no kidding. What school? What team?
The St. George Raiders from Bourbonnais, Illinois.
Hey, have a great weekend. Good luck to you guys.
All right. Thanks, much. Appreciate it. Always look on
the right side. Time for one or two more.
815, my bright side is my son is home from Utah for a surprise 80th birthday party. Life is good. And then 815 says, right now, snow mixed with rain in Pittwood. I actually don't think that one was a bright side.
Well, maybe we don't judge other people's happiness, but that may be just somebody alerting us to the fact.
I have another one. After 6 months and two surgeries, my daughter is cancer-free. That's from 815.
Wow, how about that? Hey, Jeff, you're on WGN. What's your bright side?
John. Yeah, my niece Tinashe is on Dancing with the Stars, and it's just great to be able to have the world see all the talent that she has, because she's just an amazingly talented woman.
Wait a minute. Your niece is on what?
Dancing with the Stars.
Dancing with the Stars.
The one on TV? Wait, the one on TV? The real one?
Yeah. Yeah, her name is Tinashe. She lives out in the Los Angeles area with my sister and my brother-in-law, and it's just a great family, and she's a great
dancer. Wait a minute,
hold
on.
Get her on the station.
I know, wait, is she one of the stars, or is she one of the professional dancers?
She's one of the stars.
Oh, so what's her claim to fame? What is her stardom?
She's a pop singer. She's been singing for about the last 3-4 years. Has a couple albums out, and she's just trying some new things.
So, do you guys know in advance how she's doing, or are you finding out like the rest of us?
It is live, just like everything else. So, yeah, when we're watching it live, my sister, they're in the studio audience, and they're also watching it live.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay. So, who are we rooting for now? What's her name again?
Her name is Tinashe.
Is she going to win it all?
Well, she is. She's been scoring
yes,
really high.
Yes, the answer is yes.
I know, this is way too long an answer. You're supposed to say yes. But what are you saying?
Oh, I hope so. I think so.
Yeah. Wow. Well, congratulations. Stay in touch. It's nice to hear you, okay?
Okay, sounds great. We like listening to you. Thanks.
We like listening to you. And now we're going to listen to Tinashe and watch her dance. One of the Dancing with the Stars dancers this year is blind.
Oh, wow.
Think about how difficult that is.
Yeah. You have to really trust your partner.
Indeed. Okay, so that's our Bright Side. Thank you, Violetta. Thank you, Producer Ella. It's sponsored by the Joint Relief Institute. Rokan, Anna DeVlantis getting ready to entertain and inform. Hi, Anna.
Hi, John. I have an addition to your Bright Side. Is it okay outside of the music to do that?
Hold on. I'm
Will
checking
you allow?
With the committee. Okay, it's all right.
Thank you. Northwestern homecoming this week, and I'm going to the game tomorrow. Lots of friends in town. I'm excited to do that.
Go Cats!
I did not put that on the rundown.
Yeah.
Big
deal.
Who are we playing this weekend?
Nebraska. They're 0-5.
They're
0-5.
Got to get a win here.
You know, this team has been so unpredictable.
I'll be there too, Anna. Are you tailgating? Can I mooch like
a tailgating, and I've located a very nice tailgate I will text you about later,
okay,
Kevin.
Perfect.
So you will enjoy.
I'll swing by on my way into the stadium.
I so want to be good friends with somebody who tailgates a lot. You know, they do all the work and then invite me.
The good ones are pretty good, John. I got to say, when people do it right, when you have a professional handling the festivities, it's really it's something to see.
Well,
so
especially at Northwestern.
Yeah, right.
You guys
see the
have
grills.
Like suites?
Did I tell you that you look terrific today, Anna?
Well, thank you, John. That really works wonders. I'll text you too, okay? Here's what's coming up on the show, guys.
Yeah, go.
Michael Steele will be joining us about the Kanye meeting. He had some very strong opinions about that and whether or not it will help the president or not. We got Susan Schmidt explaining what's going on with the markets. They recovered a little bit as we saw today after two pretty rough days. What's ahead? Is it a bumpy road? I know investors concerned. And it concerned me a little bit. Tom Skilling, of course, will be here. Tom Yamas, you've seen his exclusive one-on-one with Melania, is airing tonight. And he's going to join us, tell us a little more about
Oh, no kidding. He's coming on with you guys?
Yeah.
He asked her about how she feels about her husband's philandering.
Infidelities. And she said no holds barred. She may put no restrictions on the interview. And he says he went everywhere asking about the Me Too movement and Kavanaugh. All sorts of directions. So, we'll see. We'll hear a little more from him. Luke Kanellis on the Bears-Dolphins matchup this Sunday. And, of course, the Canarbo wagon rolls.
Have a really good Friday.
Thank you, John. You do the same.